Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Continuing. With the gopis. Great company, right? Can't get better than that. We'll begin with sharing something that's very sweet. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave a very detailed description of 108 jewel beads that Krishna used for counting the cows, making sure that not even that was the groups and that one cow would get lost. So Stavamala is a writing that has the same detail. Sri Keshavastika reads, it's eight prayers and then there's a summary at the end. It all begins the same. I worship Lord Keshava. Coming back from the forest of Raja, he wears Priyaka flower earrings, a crown of fully blossomed Malati flowers, and a Brahmana thread of small, charming jasmine flowers. Now, he didn't receive Brahman thread. He didn't receive Diksha while he was in Braja. That happened when he reached Mathura. But he was playing. Text 2. I worship Lord Keshava. Coming back from the forest, he happily calls his straying Surabhi cows, Pishangi Manikastani Pranata Shingi Pinge Kshana. This is a different set of names, but that's okay. It's just groups of cows, right? Radangamukhi, that's the same. Do Mala Shabali Hangsi. That's also in the other list. Vangsi Priya. And he calls the names with his flute, not with his voice. His very special flute. Text 3. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest on the pathways of Raja. With the best of words, he makes his splendidly dressed and affectionate friends, who are all expert at the art of pleasant jokes, smile and laugh. There was a question yesterday about the secondary rasa of laughter. Text 4. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Braja. His cheeks are licked by a stream of perspiration. Although he doesn't have veins, he doesn't have a material body, Acharya is described, when these things are mentioned, it's his yogamaya potency manifesting things that make him look like he's one of us. His cheeks are licked by a stream of perspiration. He is decorated with pictures drawn in mineral colors from the hill, and his curling locks of hair deride the splendor of a swarm of black bees. In the mood of the gopis, right? Not just kind of like poetically. Spiritually, he's in the mood of the gopis. He's a Manjari. I worship Lord Keshava. Coming back from the forest with the sweet sound of his flute, he calls the Surabhi cows who, eager to see their young calves, break the ground with their heavy dancing hooves. Text 6. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest. He beautifies the path with his footprints. He wears a garland of dust. Raised by the wandering cows, and his garments and peacock feather move with the waves of the wind. Text 7. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest with the playful and sweet music of his flute. He delights the heart of Vraja's queen. Who's that? Radharani. And makes all the gopis in their homes happy at heart. He makes the hairs of their bodies stand erect with joy. And the final text 8. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Raja. He is worshipped by the gopis who mount the roofs of their palaces and meet him on the path with 100 manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles. The corners of his eyes wander like large black bees around the gopis' breasts. Text 9. Maybe Shaka's friend, Krishna, give transcendental happiness and unwavering love for his lotus feet to the splendidly intelligent person who attentively reads these 8 verses, which are a glorious festival for all the gopis. I'll read that one again. Maybe Shaka's friend give transcendental happiness and unwavering love for his lotus feet to the splendidly intelligent person who attentively reads these 8 verses, which are a glorious festival for all the gopis. And one remaining matter before we begin. Yesterday there was a question about the relationship between Purnamasi and Subhadra, both bearing the name Yogamaya, or category Yogamaya. Remember that one? So there's a very explicit answer found in a commentary from Canto 10, Chapter 32, Texts 16 through 22 is a book written by Shivaram Maharaj and published by his publishing company. Na paraye aham, where Krishna is saying, I'm unable to repay you. This is to the gopis. And so I'm just reading from his book. Every aspect of Krishna's pastimes is under the direction of divine fate. This divine fate is an aspect of his internal potency and is known as Yogamaya. In Vrindavan, Yogamaya is personified in the form of Purnamasi, the grandmother of Madhu Mangal and mother of Sandipani Muni. And in Dwarka, she appears as Subhadra Devi, Krishna's sister. In Braja, Yogamaya's power of attorney reaches its summit. We spoke about that. She's authorized, and she authorizes everything, and she's the last word. Krishna's power of attorney. To facilitate Krishna's complete absorption in pastimes, she even makes him forget his godhood. Sometimes. And then gives the reference. Gora Gonadesh, Radha Krishna Gonadesh Deepika is the reference that says she, Purnamasi, is so good at facilitating Krishna's pastimes. so that he can be absorbed in his pastime. She causes him to forget. So he says Yogamaya covers, like, you know, the coward boys enter the mouth of a gosara, or Krishna sees the coward boys and cows by the side of the Kaliya Lake, and he becomes overwhelmed by Yogamaya. Those are examples. He forgets himself. He forgets himself. He forgets his divinity and becomes, you know, this secondary rasa of... And then she withdraws because he enjoys his intense affection for the cowherd boys and the cows causes, through the agency of Yogamaya, to... So, Subhadra is in Dwarka. Of course, she's born as the younger sister of Krishna and Balaram. So there are eight boys, and she's number nine. And there weren't other children after Subhadra. So she was actually in Mathura, but... we don't hear much about her in Mathura. We hear about her in Dwarka. And there was a question somebody raised, and I spent a fair amount of time researching, why Krishna didn't receive Gurukul training when he was in Braja. And one of the reasons, there's many reasons, but one of those reasons is he wanted to favor Sandipani Muni. He wanted to favor Sandipani Muni. And there's several other reasons. Sandipani Muni was not a Vaishnav. He was a worshiper of Lord Shiva. And to this day, the temple where it shows Sandipani Muni, he has not Vaishnav Tilak. He was, so, but if Krishna had gone to get training by a Vaishnav, they wouldn't have been able to train him, because they would have known that he's the personality of Godhead. Because they're brahmanas. They're not like, you know, fellows. They know, like Gargamuni knew. We heard this yesterday. Nanda Maharaj didn't know. Although, In an indirect manner, he said, but anyway. So way back to, even before Krishna appeared, it's described, Purnamasi just showed up in Vrindavan, along with her grandson, Madhamangal, who was the same age as Krishna. So, Purnamasi was the mother of Sandipani Muni, whose son was Madhumangal. And so the grandmother and the son, so naturally the father, Krishna, went to his school. And when he was at his school, he, although worshiper of Lord Shiva, came to understand Krishna's position by Krishna's intimate association with Sandipani Muni in Balaram. You know, it doesn't say he switched his tilak, but he came to know Krishna's by service. That's how we come to know. And Krishna's mercy. So I'm going to read something further that gives us some deeper understanding about Yogamaya. So here's a definition of Yogamaya given by Jiva Goswami in the glossary of Tattva Sandarbha. It's really simple. Yogamaya is the aspect of Krishna's personal energy who enhances his loving pastimes with his devotees by putting the devotees in benign illusion. You know, malignant and benign, like cancer. Benign illusion. Making them forget that he is God. When Krishna descends to earth, Yogamaya appeared as his sister, Subhadra. Mahamaya, the material energy of illusion, is her partial expansion. Now there's other things to say. Yogamaya was born as the daughter of Yashoda, and so on. So here's Srila Prabhupada writing a letter in 1968 to one of his disciples, to Madhusudan, very nice devotee. Subhadra is Yogamaya. The spiritual energy is called Yogamaya. She has 16 different expansions, Yogamaya. Out of these expansions, Subhadra is one. So what's this 16? Well, we're going to hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 84, from the purport. The commentary of Madhva on Srimad Bhagavatam 131 mentions that the following 16 spiritual energies are present in the spiritual world. That's the reference. Here they are. Sri, Bhu, Leela, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Gir, Pushti, Satya, Jnana, Jnana, Jaya, Utkarshani, Vimala, Yogamaya. So Yogamaya is one of the 16. She manifests as Subhadra. That's Prabhupada to Madhusudan. Pravi, Ishana, and Anugraha. There are 16. They're listed. They're numbered. That's from the purport. Now, continuing in that same purport, Prabhupada writes, in his commentary on Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan has said that the above 16 energies are also known by 9 names. It's a different system. Just like the 24 elements or the 8 separated material energies. Different system. Don't get confused. Vimala Utkarshani, Jnana, Kriya, and then just says Yoga, but Yogamaya. Pravi, Satya, Ishana, and Anugraha. And in the Bhagavad Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, text 117, so I'm going to read to you from some portion of that. Bhagavad Sandarbha, text 117, they are described as the long list, much longer than 9 or 16. Sri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, Jaya, Vidya, Vidya, Maya, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, Bhakti, Murti, Vimala, Yoga, Yoga Maya, Pravi, Ishana, Anugraha, etc. Whew. That's Prabhupada's purport. All these energies act in different spheres of the Lord's supremacy. Right? He has unlimited potencies. Prasya Shaktir, Vivadaiva Shoyate, Swabhaviki Ganak Balakriyacha. So, 16, 9, and unlimited. Take your pick. And so, from the commentary of Bhagavad Sandarbha 117, I just selected some of the meanings of these words, these internal potencies, spiritual potencies. Pushti causes nourishment. Gir causes good speech. Kanti gives beauty. Kirti gives fame. Trishti gives satisfaction. Ila Shakti is Bhu. She also represents Lila Shakti. Murti Shakti reveals the Vigraha of the Lord. Vimala causes purity, or doesn't say cause. Jaya, Yoga, Pravi, Ishana, and Anugraha, mercy. So Yogamaya has a function. We heard what that function is. And she's one of 16, or she's one of 9, or she's one of unlimited potencies that are all in the category of his spiritual potencies. You can say internal potencies or spiritual potencies. So that's a little education on Yogamaya. And now we're going to continue. Here's Jiva Goswami on these two verses, 18, 19, from chapter 35. Again, Krishna has his string of gems. Now, Krishna is standing somewhere, counting his cows on a string of gems, calling them with his flute. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers and bears the fragrance of his beloved. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bears the fragrance of his beloved, and he has thrown his arm over the shoulder of an affectionate cowherd boyfriend. As Krishna plays his flute and sings, the music attracts the black deer's wives who approach that ocean of qualities, that's Krishna, and sit down beside him. Just like us cowherd girls, they have given up all hope for happiness and family life. And here's his brief commentary. In the later afternoon, wearing a different dress, by playing his flute, he gathers the cows in one place to count them and returns home. Quote, even the deer are attracted to the flute, what to speak of us? That is expressed in this verse. He holds a string of jewels and counts the cows. And here's Jiva Goswami commenting very briefly on this text 18. Sakya rasa is again seen in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-18. Just summarizing. Now Krishna is standing somewhere, counting his cows on a string of gems. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bears the fragrance of his beloved, and he has thrown his arm over his shoulder of an affectionate cowherd boyfriend. So now we're going on to the next pair. 2021. Oh, sinless Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland and is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various Upadevas, standing on all sides like the translation used in the BBT word is panegyrist. I had to look it up. It means orators who deliver eulogies. So the Gandharvas are giving eulogies along with music to glorify Krishna as he's with the cowherd boys by the side of the river Jamuna, offering their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. And the purport reads, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the gopis are again in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Raja. And sometimes Radha is called the queen, and certainly Yashoda deserves the title queen of Raja, because Nanda is the king. They are trying to encourage her by describing Krishna's return to Vrindavan after he has spent the day herding cows and playing. Paragraph, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comment that the Upadevas, the minor demigods mentioned here, include the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing. So there's Devas and Upadevas. So the Devas reside in Swarga, and the Upadevas reside in Bhuvarloka. Bhu-mandala, or Bhu-loka, Bhuvarloka, that's where the Upadevas are, and Swargaloka. So they're checking out Krishna's pastimes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, when the gopis who had assembled at Yashoda's house saw that she was disturbed because Krishna was late in coming, they pacified her by giving reasons for his lateness. Paragraph. To relieve himself of fatigue, Krishna has bathed in the Yamuna and then sat on the bank. In order to please his friends who were so enthusiastic, he dressed himself comically with a kunda flower garlands. As he walked on the bank of the river, the wind began to blow gently and pleasantly. Now it gives some explanation of how they know what Krishna is up to, because they're some distance away, not invited into the cowherd boy pastimes. It explains. Krishna gave joy to his friends by giving and receiving jokes and defeating their jests, the hasya rasa, secondary rasa. Oh, sinless one, you have not committed any sins previously or in this life by which danger could come to your son. So why do you uselessly worry about danger from demons if he is a little late? He is the son of Nanda, who is famous as the jewel of piety, and is the son, vatsa, or object of affection, of you, endowed with the most spotless fame, Yashoda. We see that children fall into danger only when the parents have bad karma. That's in his commentary. Therefore, there is no danger for your son. Paragraph. Listen, as we tell you the reason for his being late, as we have heard it from his friends. So there's how they knew. The wind, so fragrant and cool from touching the sandalwood trees of the Malaya Mountain, began to blow very slowly and pleasantly on your son. The Upa Devatas, Gandharvas, began to worship him in all ways, including playing musical instruments, as they praised his qualities. To accept this worship, he has become late. Those of quality delight in seeing the person of quality. Therefore, there is no need to worry for your son, for they are worshiping him. It is your good fortune. Jiva Goswami writes, they describe another pastime performed while gathering the cows, as described previously, in a group including Yashoda. He gathers the cows together after taking the cows to the water a second time. Realizing the pastime personally when the time of arrival has passed and Yashoda begins suffering, So here's a different, they're just realizing his pastime rather than they heard from his friends. They approach her to comfort her with news that Krishna is coming. This is expressed in 6 verses. So the first 2 of 6 is this pair 21, 2021. Paragraph. From mention of the Kunda flowers and gentle breeze, it is inferred that it is Kartik month. These flowers, Kunda flowers, do not bloom in the spring, and the wind during winter and the dewy season is harsh. So inductively, it's Kartik month. They comfort Yashoda with this description, since it shows that his pastimes give happiness to all, and Krishna received comfort from everyone's service. They explain the reason for his late arrival in this verse. He has gone to the Jamuna, where he plays in the water and then plays on the bank. He needs to bathe because of fatigue from the wandering, all day. After that, he dons a garland of Kunda flowers, since it would be uncomfortable to wear a moist garland which was worn while in the water. They indicate the cause of his late arrival by describing his pastimes, which give happiness to all others. Paragraph. He is surrounded by friends and cows. This is to be expected since he and Balaram are sons of Nanda. Nanda means, quote, one who gives bliss to all. O Yashoda, because of you, no one has any suffering. Anagay. This is repeated several times. Anagay. No one has any suffering. He is your son, and you experience only bliss. He is the object of the greatest affection, like a calf, vatsa. Therefore, it is not wrong to be anxious about him. He is surrounded by the boys and calves because they have all become motionless, satisfied with drinking water, and he gives joy to them by his jokes and pranks because they are affectionate and his friends. Prana Yanam. He wears a dress consisting of various ornaments like flower crowns, which give joy or are a festival of pastimes, cow tuka vesha. Thus it is understood that he has changed his dress. Paragraph. A soft wind blows in a pleasing manner, au kulam, from behind, favorable for his going. The wind is his assistant in Krishna's pastimes. The word manda, gentle, it means other meanings too, slow or gentle. Manda samanda matheo. So it's a manda wind. It's gentle, moving slowly. Also suggests the wind's assistance. The slow wind fans him, blowing near him, upa. This means wherever he goes, the wind also goes. It honors him with the touch of the south wind, malayaja, arising in the evening. Since it usually arises in the autumn season, the wind is here making favorable arrangements as well. The wind blows favorably from the back. All the devatas, like Gandharvas, this is Upadevatas, worship him with music. The words Vandinaha and Gita indicate that they praise Krishna by singing. Both offerings, bali, and music accompany their songs. Their offerings consist of attractive cloth, ornaments, and foods. Really detailed. Because songs are most prominent, the Gandharvas are present, according to Sridhar Swami. Because they surround Krishna, he becomes late. But he will come quickly, since the wind and the devatas are creating auspiciousness for his arrival. It's not just two verses, it's all of this sweetness. So, Sanatan Goswami, we're going to end. Yashoda returns, desiring to hear about the excellence of her son again after recovering. The gopis approach her to help her recover by giving news of her son's return, since she is suffering in separation. This is described in these two verses. Paragraph. Along with joyful playing, kautuka, he is decorated with jasmines in his hair. It is understood that he has changed his clothing. He is surrounded by a wealth of cows and cowherds unlike any other person. On returning home in the afternoon, the cowherds are tired, boys, from playing all day. To give them relief and to have the cows drink their last water, he goes to the Yamuna. To give bliss to both parents, they say, the gopis say, son of Nanda and your son. Subtle, but Tava Vatsa, or your son, indicates her great affection, Vatsalya. Oh, Yashoda, with no knowledge of any suffering, Anagay, one remains free from suffering because of your sweet affection, great affection. This is in comparison to others. In time, he will return, and we shall be free of suffering. This is humility natural to great prema. Paragraph, he is playing in the water or on the bank of the Yamuna because he joked with his friends filled with affection. These are the causes of his delay in entering Braja. The wind blows affectionately, anukulam. The slow breeze suggests it is heavily endowed with fragrance to give joy to the suffering gopis. It blows from the south, Malayaja, being gentle, fragrant, and cool. Paragraph, the Vidyadharas and other devas surround him. Singing should be first, though the order mentioned has instrumental music first. After playing in the dark water of Yamuna, he appears joyful, kautuka, with jasmine garlands. He is a son who gives joy, Nanda Suttaha. Like a cow shows affection to its newborn calf, Yashoda is affectionate to Krishna, Vatsaha. The wind blows near, Upavati. It is fragrant with a touch of sandalwood, Malayaja, coming from the south. What happened? This indicates spring season, which has jasmines. Vrindavan is endowed with all seasons. Or the wind blows cool or warm depending on the pastimes in the rasa dance, just as the full moon always shines during the rasa dance. By the singing, everything is adjusted properly on all days. Concluding, the Vandis of Gokula came first. They and the devatas surround Krishna, performing their services. They also offer scents, flowers, cloth, and ornaments. I can hear it more, more. Goranga, Goranga, Goranga. Our acharyas, they have received the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gift of Vraja Prem, through the medium of chanting and their immersion in Srimad Bhagavatam, details and details and details and relishing. I was remembering this morning about Sanatana Goswami writing some number, something like 417 verses of prayer to the Holy Name. Remember that? I mean, he wasn't just chanting the Holy Name, he was not just praying to the Holy Name, writing whatever the number is, something over 400. That's one of his writings. It's just prayers to the Holy Name. So there's the absorption of the Holy Name. So we're given the same. We're covered, but we're given the same by them and by our founder Acharya and passing it on through disciplic succession and immersed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And details and details and details. Relishing. The first time I went to Vrindavan, it was the year after Srila Prabhupada had taken the devotees to Vrindavan. And it was the time that I went, it was after the, it was around Gaur Purnima time, just after Gaur Purnima time, so it was getting warm. But one of the devotees, the senior devotees, was assigned to take us around. And I remember this, you know, just thinking about how the our acharyas, how'd they manage their time? They wrote books, they chanted the holy name, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill, and they discussed topics of Krishna together. So those of you that have been to the Radhadamodar temple, you recall there's the courtyard, there's the altar, then over to the right is Prabhupada's rooms, and over to the left is so many samadhis, including Jiva Goswami's samadhi, because that was where he resided. And there's a Pushpa samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta and so many other personalities who we don't know. And then way over to the right is Bhugarbha Goswami. He was one of the ones, along with Lokanath, that came to Vrindavan before Krishna, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. And then Rupa's samadhi and Bhajan Kutir. So the part that isn't the same today that it was when we went there, there's many things that have been changed. But there was a place in the back when you circumambulate around the altar, because pilgrims come in and that's part of their vrata, they circumambulate the deities of Vraja every evening or every morning or whenever they do it. It's just a vrata. Just go enter, take darshan of the deity, and circumambulate three times. So when we went, I very distinctly remember this, there was, behind the altar, there was a platform. It wasn't, now it's, the platform is gone. It's just, you know, something else. But there was an area underneath the platform, and we were told It was because in Vrindavan in the summer it gets really hot, and that's where the Goswamis would go to stay cool. And they would, because the Radha Damodar temple was centrally located, Govindaji temple and Radharaman temple and Gopinath temple, it was central. So they came together with Jiva Goswami and they would discuss, guess what? Topics about Krishna. And who knows what those topics, those discussions were like. On what level, elevated level. So all of that spiritual potency is where topics of Krishna are discussed, Krishna is present. We know that from scripture. Where topics of Krishna are discussed, Krishna is present. So what to speak of when elevated persons, in the Holy Dham, where elevated persons will regularly come together and discuss topics of Krishna, what spiritual potency is there? So, you know, we just importing some of that in the form of the writings of our Goswamis and the writings of Vyasadeva and the speaking of Shukadeva Goswami, because he's the one narrating. And our great acharyas echoing the messages from these sections, just like this Stavamala description. But by that immersion, one progressively can just, you know, the worries of the world just kind of go away. I mean, they don't go away. It's just like your consciousness is in another place. And then we finish and you know, the worries come back again. So it's not like we should just like dismiss our worldly existence. We purify our worldly existence by the process of hearing and chanting, connecting consciousness with Krishna. I just came across something yesterday where and I don't recall where I found it. The Vasudeva state is a state of Shuddha Sattva consciousness, Vishuddha Sattva. Not just Sattva, but Vishuddha Sattva. So the Vasudeva state is the father, Vasudeva, his mind was Vasudeva. So Krishna appeared in his mind. And then from his mind, he was transferred to the mind of Devaki. So the phrase was antakarana, connected to the Vasudeva state. I'm sure I can find it again. So this term antakarana is a term that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would regularly use. And it indicates the subtle impressions that the mind carries. And the subtle impressions cause a disposition. Material. And then there's the cleansed antakarana. So our function is cleanse the mind. The antakarana, this is whatever the nice term, it's a nice term. It means that the sum total of all impressions. Material impressions that we're carrying. Who knows how many lifetimes worth. and that those subtle impressions go with the mind and that the subtle senses, you know, during our lifetime and after this lifetime, that's what carries us on to another birth. And what we're doing is getting the opportunity to cleanse the mind. Chaita Darpa Namarjanam, with the chanting of the holy name, but also the chanting of the holy name is not just the name, it's the name, quality, form, pastimes, etc. We're doing some mind cleansing, and it's restoring on the negative side, or eliminating the contaminations, the contact with material contamination, and the antakarna that results from so, who knows how many lifetimes of such contact, and elevating consciousness to being connected with Krishna just by sound. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, we've had enough discussion about this. We don't understand everything. It's quite okay. Don't worry about it. Just there's faith, and there's subjective experience as well. There's cleansing going on. And we're understanding things about our spiritual nature and our contamination that we didn't even know before. We were walking around and, you know, like donkeys, in forgetfulness of spiritual reality, and trying to be happy and trying to be successful and trying to manage our affairs. And, you know, sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't look good. And, you know, living the life like a conditioned soul lives their life, missing the point of the human form of life, the real purpose of the human. So some light went on and some good fortune, and here we are. With what, there was a question, with what consciousness should we be hearing these messages? Attentive submission, oral reception. To whatever degree our limited faculty permits, try to understand, because that will help purify. It's not mean that by that method we'll understand, by empiric method, but we try to understand, and it means through a devotional method. And there's another world. There's another reality. There is another reality. And we're not in touch with it, but we're giving the opportunity to get in, just like reach out and touch it a little bit. And it's very sweet, very pure. And that's, we're getting lots of mercy. It doesn't match up with our qualification. We're getting a lot of mercy. And by getting that mercy, then hopefully our enthusiasm to make that connection stronger and stronger will grow. We'll become more qualified just by the special mercy that's being extended to us, to strengthen our chanting and to strengthen our attraction for chanting by hearing Krishna Katha, to understand better who Krishna is, who we are, our relationship with him. This is our journey. And you know, it's Sunday, you don't have to go off to work. But tomorrow you will, so. This is our perform prescribed duties and always think of Krishna program. Let's see if there's some discussion. We covered a lot of different topics, and it's already 8:30, gosh. But it's Sunday morning.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The last point that you mentioned about the, we are getting a lot of mercy, though we are not, not eligible or qualified to do that. And I was just thinking about yesterday, there are my mind is filled with so many thoughts. By hearing these topics about Krishna, though we don't understand, we are trying to fill in and trying to push the other thoughts, which are like more not useful thoughts. I was just connecting this with the second point that you mentioned about how fortunate we are to get this, because I was just thinking an example for a lost child with a parent, and if he gets, somebody helps him to connect with the father after so many years, how happy that child and parent would be, especially the child. So I was just thinking, the devotee is helping us to connect with Krishna. I mean, it's not like 10 years or 15 years, lifetimes of, we forgot and helping us how grateful we should be.
So. Very good. Thank you.
Can I ask one
question? Yes, please.
So, this was, the Sandipan Muni mentioned about, was he not a resident of Vrindavan?
Say it again, slower.
Muni.
Yeah, say the whole sentence.
Was he not a resident of Vrindavan?
He was not a resident of Vrindavan. Sandipani Muni was not.
Okay. His son was there, right? Madhumangala.
His
son?
His son was there, and his mother was there, but he was not there. Right?
Yes. Can I ask one more?
Yeah.
Yesterday my son was asking this question about 14th, Krishna's disappearance from Bhagavatam.
Krishna's disappearance?
Yeah. So there, Arjuna doesn't talk about it to Yudhishthira Maharaj, about how Krishna disappeared.
Correct.
Directly. So, he was asking why. When I read that also I had the same question. So, I was thinking, maybe just clarification. Is it because they understand that Krishna is transcendental? It doesn't really matter how he left, but and at the same time they could not take it, if they directly discuss about it, is that reason?
No. The reason is a Vaishnava etiquette point. A Vaishnava etiquette point is, this is Chanakya Pandit, it's not advisable to be the bearer of bad news. Now sometimes we have to. And sometimes on the internet, people, that's their delight. But, and you know, the media and everything, that's, a cultured person is very careful because bringing the bad news, then the negative feelings go to the person who brought the bad news. So he didn't want that negativity towards him because he had another mission coming. And he also didn't want to disturb them. They'll find out in due course rather than this way. So he just didn't express it for those reasons. Okay. Now we're going to do an alternating. Okay, go ahead.
So this question is from Satish Bhatnagar. Why does bad karma of parents impact children?
Because children share the karma of their parents. Good and bad. Next.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for sharing about Yoga Maya. I always had that, doubt about. So the question is, day-to-day life or day-to-day pastimes of Krishna, relishing relationship with Yashoda Maya and other in the Vrindavan, is Yoga Maya is acting because the divinity is hided so that he can relish?
The divinity is hided?
Like, hidden.
Hidden?
Hidden, sorry. So that he can relish that relationship or Yoga Maya is not there at that time. I'm just little...
She doesn't have to be there.
Okay.
She's the personification of Krishna's potency, but Krishna's potency, in addition to being personified, is everywhere. It's like the sun is the source of the sunshine, but the sunshine is everywhere. The potency of Yoga Maya is personified and is everywhere. So the everywhere doesn't diminish the personified. Personified doesn't diminish the everywhere. It's a Shakti. And pervasive. Present or not present. Does that answer your question?
So I wanted to know, when Krishna is relishing pastimes with say Yashoda Maiya, does he know about his divinity at that time?
It depends.
It depends. Okay.
Sometimes, sometimes not. And that's, you know, that's in Yoga Maya's hand. But she only moves according to his indication. So his tendency for enjoyment is unlimitedly variegated. And so sometimes Yoga Maya does different things. Kadachit is, you know, sometimes and sometimes and sometimes. That phrase comes all the time. Okay.
Thank you.
So this question is from Premananda Mataji. She asks, is Antakarna same as Chitta or Sattva impressions alone?
I don't know the answer to that question. What Chitta is a whole topic unto itself. Then to say what Chitta is in relation to Antakarna is another topic. Can we do that another time? Because it's really involved. Really involved.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I'm trying to understand know the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. So Yoga Maya is for Krishna's pastime, the spiritual energy. And the shadow of Yoga Maya is Mahamaya, which covers us.
Yes.
So when Krishna reveals, there's like two curtains.
Two?
Two, like Mahamaya and Yoga Maya.
Curtains. Okay, yes. The curtain terminology is concealing what's behind the curtain. And what's behind the curtain is Krishna's divinity. And the Mahamaya, we don't see Krishna at all as divinity. And like that very nice verse when Krishna is walking into the wrestling arena with the tusks of Kovalyapita over his shoulder and Balaram. And then, there's a list of the number of different categories of personalities that see Krishna in a different way. So they're seeing Krishna, but some are covered by Mahamaya. They don't see Krishna as, each of them see Krishna in the way that their heart is disposed. So Mahamaya is, we don't see Krishna as, he's like, you know, Kamsa. And, you know, the first one is, the wrestlers saw him as a thunderbolt. That doesn't mean like, but, you know, they didn't see his divinity. Kamsa saw death personified. So those are different features of Maya, Mahamaya, but so we're either under Mahamaya or Yogamaya. In either case, one doesn't see Krishna as he is, but then the Yogamaya can pull the curtain back by Krishna's arrangement, and here I am, and then it closes again. So it can also be disclosing or concealing. Like what Krishna did with the cowherd men and showed them the spiritual world because that was their desire. That's one of his internal potencies, his pastime potencies. He made a pastime for them. And then, so the distinction is that they're both concealing Krishna rather than revealing Krishna, but there's this negative disposition and all of the, you know, guna and karma and things that go along with being under Mahamaya, the whole set of stuff. And Yogamaya is a whole other set of stuff. It's being within it allows entrance into the internal potency. Yogamaya. And they're acting according to, all of Krishna's potencies are acting according to his will or ichha. Like Mother Jasoda wanting to bind Krishna. She couldn't bind Krishna. That's Yogamaya, and then she could bind Krishna. It's Yogamaya. Okay? Yes. But yeah, let's do online next. Let's do online next. Oh, okay, you do your follow-up, and then we'll just go online.
Guru Maharaj, when you're describing this covering of Yogamaya, I remember this from Hiranmayapatra, from Ishopanishad. Is that in a different dimension covering?
Yes.
It's not like, it's not.
Hiranmaya is specifically the Brahmajyoti. So please remove your Brahmajyoti, dazzling effulgence. Hiranmaya, dazzling effulgence. That's Brahmajyoti. So one can't see Krishna. It's like some of the persons that when Krishna entered, they saw this is Brahmajyoti. Glaring effulgence. Okay? Different dimension, yes. That's it? Okay.
So this question is from Krishna Chandra. He's a 7-year-old son of Visalaksha Prabhu. He asks, why Lord Shri Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill with his little finger, did he not get the pain?
No. No pain. Next.
This is from Latika Bharadwaj. The question is related to internal potencies or energies of Krishna. You talked about such as Pushti, Satya, etc. So when we worship all the energies during Navaratri, Chandraganta, Shaili Putri, Mahagauri, etc., are they also forms of Yoga Maya?
My understanding is, unless you're on the platform of pure devotion, you'll see them as Mahamaya manifestations or devis of this world. If you're on the platform, in contrast, if you're on the platform of the gopis, then it's the internal potency and various features.
So when I worship them, I should worship them with the knowledge.
Well, I think you should not worship them. I think you should worship Radha Krishna. Because the tendency, our conditioned tendency, is to try to be the enjoyers of Prakriti. So we may worship the devis with the desire to be the enjoyer. And then we'll be covered in a different way than we're covered today, tomorrow. But we're still covered. Devi worship is not advisable for Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship or Krishna worship is advisable. And along with Krishna or Vishnu is his potency. Lakshmi Narayan or Lakshmi Narsingha or Sitaram or Radha Krishna. That's advisable. Because we're not, you know, it's similar to, this is a common question people ask when they start studying Nectar Devotion. One of the 64 items mentioned in Nectar Devotion is worshiping Ganesh. So, Prabhupada, why did you not teach us about worshiping Ganesh? Because it's one of the 64 items given by Rupa Goswami. Answer. Because when you worship Ganesh, you'll have material desire and help remove obstacles to get, you know, your material desires fulfilled. Therefore, I've not given the worship of Ganesh. Instead, Vaishnavas worship Lord Nrisimhadev. Because it's Lord Nrisimhadev who, upon the tumuli, the protrusions on the head of Ganesh, that he gets the power to remove obstacles. But he removes obstacles for material. Now, there's the transcendental Ganesh, but when you worship Ganesh, or you worship the Navaratri devis, you're worshiping the demigoddesses or, you know, the material Ganesh. You're going to implicate yourself further in material affinity. Thinking, wow, it works. I'm getting my material stuff. Go, go, go. So my advice is change the channel, worship Radha Krishna. And as you become elevated, you'll have a better understanding of how to, in a transcendental way, honor Navaratri.
Amara Mataj was asking, as you mentioned about cleansing of consciousness, this whole process has its subtle effects, and looking back, I can see little maturity in thinking, feeling and willing and making choices accordingly. How can we attract someone for chanting and convey them such high spiritual effects, which is actual need, but it's not everyone's priority?
By your own purity, that's how. Purity attracts.
And Sanchari Mataji asked the question, how does the karma sharing between guru and disciple work?
I'm not sure what she's asking, but it sounds like you put wood in a fire and the wood burns. That's how it works.
Satish Bhatnagar Prabhu has a follow-up question. He was asking about the bad karma of parents impact children earlier. So his follow-up is there an age after which children's own karma takes over? Also, do parents share their children's karma?
Yes. Yes. There's not an age, and yes, you share. As long as the body is so, supposing you become a pure devotee, supposing your parents will get benefit. Supposing you don't become a pure devotee, you make some progress, your parents will benefit. Sure. Supposing you do bad stuff, that the negativity is shared by those there's a bodily connection with. And not only the bodily connection, you know, there's other people that you're in contact with. So.
They say like until 7 years whole.
No.
This is from Paramarupa Prabhu. Antakarana literally means inner sense.
Yes.
So could it refer to any of the inner sense like mind or chitta contextually, much like Atma, which literally means self, get different meanings contextually?
He's going back to that earlier question, and I already beg forgiveness to not go into it, because there are different conceptions of what chitta is, and there are different conceptions of what antakarana is, and it's not so straightforward, it is too complicated, so I'd rather not go there.
Sanchari Mataji was clarifying that she heard that spiritual master takes the karma of the disciple completely at the time of initiation and partially after that. Both are karmically linked, so trying to claim clarification.
Well, and partially thereafter. I mean, if one falls from when, so one becomes initiated, yes, karma is transferred. The good news is this: if provided the spiritual master is bona fide and the fire of bhakti is very strong, that karma is burned. So the spiritual master doesn't suffer in the same way that, I don't want to get initiated because then I'll just dump all my karma on my spiritual master. The fire of devotion burns that karma. Now, I've never heard this description that, you know, partially thereafter. That's a new one. If you can come up with some scriptural reference that says partially thereafter, I'd be interested to see it.
This is the final question online. Bhakti Priya Mataji was asking, when we take the reality pill, what
take
should
the which?
Reality.
Reality pill, okay.
What should we expect and what will we run into?
Purification. And sometimes it's, you know, gentle and sometimes it's not so gentle. And that's up to Krishna. That's the reality pill. But purification. And that means you'll start to see things differently. You'll start to feel things differently. The same world is out there, but you'll see things and feel things differently. And the orientation towards Krishna and pleasing Krishna, Krishna bhakti, emerges. And the other things of the, you know, what is presently important to us starts to fade a bit. We have another set of what's important to us. We still deal with the things that are not as important to us, but, you know, we take the whole orientation changes.
Sira Mataji was asking about Antakarna is a sum total of mental impressions, so does it include spiritual impression as well?
No. If you're in the purified state, then the answer is yes. But the general use of the term is different. It's the material impressions.
So Jyotirmay Mataji was asking about karma. So at my stage of mixed bhakti...
At my stage of...
Mixed bhakti. Will any of our parents' sinful activities still affect us?
It depends on how strong your bhakti is. And depends on how strong their sinful activity is. Well, if you'll be affected or not affected. Prabhupada ki jai.